And you may be seated. Acts chapter 20, if you can turn with me there, if you got your Bible, Acts 20, and they will put it on the screen. And I'm going to read three verses. As I was studying yesterday, actually the last few days, God really spoke to me about finishing this year strong. And some of you have had a few hiccups. Some of you have had a few bumps in the road. Some of you have had some times where it's been very difficult. You see everybody else being blessed around you, everybody being blessed and getting better jobs, and you haven't been able to get a better job. You've been through some things that would kill most people, yet you're still here. And yesterday, Pastor Joe spoke a powerful message on the mighty men of valor that were surrounded David. And I had my text, but when he spoke, he used Acts chapter 20, and I said, I got to use that verse, because that verse tells the story of what I want to talk about today. And here in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 22 to verse 24, in the New Living Translation, it reads like this: And now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in the city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. But, I love what he says here in verse 24, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for the finishing of the work that has been assigned me by the Lord Jesus Christ. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. And he goes on to say, and now I know that none of you to whom I have preached the kingdom will ever see me again. So we know that he is on his way to the very end. We know that he knows his execution is coming. He says here in verse 26, I declare today that I have been faithful. If anyone suffers eternal death, it's not my fault. For I didn't shrink from declaring all that God wants you to know. So guard yourselves, he says in verse 28. Guard yourselves and God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock, his church, purchased with his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as leaders. My goodness, what a powerful declaration the Apostle Paul tells. And through thousands of years, we see how God is still speaking to the church. I believe our representative spoke to the church this morning. He said, if we don't just sit there, we can't just sit there on our hands. We've got to get up and do something. We were talking back in the green room earlier and talking about action. It takes action to get anything done. As long as good people sit around doing nothing, nothing's good going to happen. And here in verse 24 in the New King James Version, it reads a little different. He says, but none of these things move me. And really what he's saying is that I know I'm about to go to my death. I know that I'm about to suffer some beatings. I know I've been through some beatings already. I've been in prison already. I've already been through some circumstances already. He says, but none of these things move me. He says, none of them. Nor do I count my life dear to myself so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. What he says is that, you know, as long as I have my mission on my mind and as long as I know that my goal is to finish the race that God gave me, as long as I know that, and as long as I want to finish the ministry that the Lord gave me, then nothing moves me. I'm not worried about my life. I'm not afraid of what might happen to me or what I know is going to happen to me. Notice what he says. He says, I just want to finish good. I just want to do what I've been assigned to do. I want to do everything that was given to me. Listen, mom, dad, if you've got a kid, then you have to give them everything you got, because you only have so much time with them. None of these issues, none of these trials move me, he said. See, his whole goal in life, once he had that Damascus Road conversion in Acts chapter 9, and once he's changed, and once he was discipled, and once he was on his mission, he had nothing else on his mind but making sure people knew about the love and the mercy and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. But his message was a message of urgency. To the leaders, when he wrote the epistles to Corinth and Ephesus and to Thessalonica and all the different epistles that were, if you notice, most of even when he writes to Timothy, he says, Timothy, Fan the flame that is inside of you. He does it with urgency. Why? Because he knows how easy it is for us to get thrown off a track with a simple little trial. Sometimes a flat tire can change your whole life. Paul was challenged to rise up during a sweeping move of God. God was moving in the early church, and then God called Paul. He said, I've got a mission for you. He answered the call. He rose up. As we come to the end of this year, the year of 2017, we've got to make a decision to this morning, even this morning. You can't even wait till tomorrow. You've got to make a decision today that you're going to rise up and finish this year strong. You can't walk out of this place this morning defeated. You can't walk out of this place and say, you know what, man, everything's all messed up. It feels good now, but tomorrow when I walk into my job, I'm going to feel the same way. Oh, the moment I walk into my house, all the havoc in my house, it's going to feel the same. No, it's not about feelings. See, Paul says, none of these things move me. It's not about feelings. It's not about how we feel. Sometimes things are going to not feel good. I'll tell you right now, things don't feel good all the time. But I do know this, that if you'll just stand with God and you'll wait it out. You heard a representative, he said up here, hey, the very guy that was trying to get him out of there and trying to twist him out ain't there no more because he waited him out. People all the time tell me, they say, wow, you're still around. I go, yeah, what? Give me the secret. I said, I just stuck around. So many people just don't stick around is what it is. If you stick around long enough, the blessing will hit you, man. So we have less than 1 month, and the rest of your year can be the best of your year if you let it. Or you can go business as usual. You can do the same thing you did last year. You can say, oh, well, you know what? I'm going to make these changes. And you get to November and December. Say, I haven't made one change yet. I'm still doing the same thing. I'm not going to admit it, but I'm saying it inside. Your wife knows it. Your kids know it. Your old man knows it. Everybody knows it but you. See, there's something to be said about people who finish strong. There's no greater thing in life than to end well. There's no greater dignity to be in your last days and know that you finished well. Think about David for a minute. Think about King David for just a moment. Think about his life and how great he was, how powerful he was, the accolades, everything that they sang songs about him. He defeated the giant. He defeated the armies of the Philistines. He became the king. He united Israel. All the things that he did. And then he flops. He fails. He messes up. His whole family's in disarray. His family's you talk about a family that is absolutely messed up and just totally dysfunctional. That's David's family. Take a look at David. David had a dysfunctional family. He commits adultery, he sins, he falls so far down from grace, he falls down. But then there's something about David who knew his God and the mercies of his God, and he comes back to God, and look at how he ends. He ends well. He finishes strong. He doesn't let his defeats and his failures and all the stuff keep him down. He bounces back. He gets up off of the mat and says, come on, let's go, devil. As God spoke to us and said to rise up, I said, Lord, back in November and December of last year, I kept on getting the word rise up and rise up. And we always try to do a theme in our year for the year, something that will just fuel us through the year. And as I began to get that word, I began to share it with our team. And I began to say, listen, I really believe God says to rise up right now. And everybody was like, let's do this, Pastor. We're behind you. Let's get a hold of this. I feel good about it. And so we really did. We embarked on a mission this year to stop the violence. I'll tell you right now, what you guys did as a church, what you did with a little bit of money and a little bit of effort and a little bit of time, what you did was unfathomable. There, huge churches couldn't do something what you did. It was a miracle what you did. All the rallies that you had and the many hundreds and hundreds of people, hardcore drug addicts and gang members that were saved, and park rallies and car shows and basketball tournaments and all the things you did, I want you to know that you ought to know this, that your efforts are not unnoticed by God. And I'm telling you, you may not see the multitudes that have come into our church, but there are people in apartment complexes and houses all over this place that are right now still contemplating what they did, that seed that was given to them, that seed that was sown, that was preached by your testimony, by your love, by your hugging, by your feeding, by your painting of their kids' faces, all those people, when the day comes, when they say, okay, I'm ready, they're going to bow their knee and they're going to say, Jesus, come into my life. And it's going to be because of the seed that you planted, the love that you gave. So don't you think it was in vain. The money you spent, the time you gave, the hours of work and the countless hours of labor, setting up stages all over every park in Albuquerque. Now in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18, let me just read one verse for the just to, as a reference. I love what he says. I love the statement. He says, I told them of the hand of my God that had been upon me for good, and also of the words that the king had spoken to me, that they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work. And I want you to know this morning, I'm giving you a word here this morning. You need to, today, need to strengthen your hands for the good work. Because that, what the devil meant to keep you down, is going to be the very fuel that's going to propel you into 2018, a conqueror, more than a conqueror, a man, a woman, a young person that says, nothing's going to keep me down. See, some of you have fallen from grace. Some of you have failed in some areas, but oh, I'm telling you right now, there's nothing like a good comeback. Now, I'm not an advocate for Tiger Woods. I was a Tiger Woods fan for many years until he started messing up pretty bad. But man, there ain't nothing like a comeback. And watching him Thursday, I'd love to play golf. I didn't say I could play golf, but I love to play it. But I didn't mean I could, I'm very, any good at it. But I have some golf clubs. And my golf clubs suffer a lot of pain, whether I'm hitting them or throwing them. It doesn't matter. But to watch Tiger Woods go out there on the course, let's please excuse his horrible behavior the last 10 years, and love on him a little bit. Somebody get him saved and let him start worshiping Jesus instead of Buddha, and I guarantee you some things have changed for him. But he, just watching him swing and hit that ball, hitting a fairway wood 300 yards again, and watching him out there sweating and putting in birdies, and watching him be in the mix of the top golfers in the world when everybody wrote him off. That's kind of like you, some of you here this morning. Everybody wrote you off. Your boss wrote you off. Your grandma wrote you off. Your daddy wrote everybody, your friends, your neighbors, even maybe your church wrote you off. But I want you to know something right now. God never writes you off. God always has a comeback. Now, why did the Lord challenge us? Look at our community. What a drag, man, that our newspapers have to show the accolades. Is it like a trophy, breaking records, that we broke 71 homicides in Albuquerque? 72 now? I mean, the newspapers, it's like, it's almost like, hey, we broke a record. And like, I know they're reporting the news. But that isn't good for me. That isn't good for you. It's not good for our community. It's not good for our state. It's not good for our nation. What does that say about us? That says the church isn't doing its job. That's what it says. I'm just going to stop right there. The church is not doing its job, because if the church was doing its job, then the very people who committed those murders would have been saved by now. The church ain't out there doing their job. If every church in Albuquerque was doing its job, including us, we're not doing enough. I know we do a lot, but we're not doing enough. I mean, think about a community. Think about the community we live in, the heroin, the addiction, the pain, the violence. That's why God said, rise up and do something. He brought us to this community right here, not so we could just be this community. He brought us to the center of the city to say, you're a city church. I want you to reach this city. Think about the every time I hear something like we're the lowest in poverty, the lowest in graduation, all those things, man, it gets to my soul. It does something to me. It says, wait a minute, we need people to rise up. We need leadership to rise up. We need pastors to rise up. We need people that are going to run for office, are going to rise up and say, I'll do something about it. We need people in our community to say, you know what? What is it going to take? Listen, there's nothing greater than one-on-one mentoring and discipleship. When are men and women going to begin to take people under their wings and say, let me teach you how to serve the Lord. Let me teach you how to work. We have too many people running home to that big box. What's flat now? It used to be square. See, Some of you responded to the mandate. Others, you ran into so many difficulties and so many things, so many trials that it demanded your attention so much that it doused your flame. It also sucked the faith out of you. Where you couldn't even believe anymore. Maybe for a lot of different reasons. Some of you did your best. Some of you just gave up right away. Some of you stuck to your commitment and you've been here and you feel all alone. Like, man, I'm the only one. You feel like, you remember that story in the Bible? I'm the only prophet. Oh, really? God says, I got 400 more. I got them all over. You just can't see them because you're caught up in your storm. When you're caught up in the storm, all you can see is your stuff. Maybe you were too bitter to rise up in January. So God spoke to you all year, maybe like in May and June and July, and still you were too bitter. Or maybe you were too sick to rise up in 2017. Or maybe you attempted to rise up, but you fell on your face and you failed. You see, many started the year real slow, and you've been building up, and you're wondering if you're ever going to get to where you need to be at. Some of you fumbled the ball so much. I'll tell you right now, man, I was studying yesterday in between a funeral. Pastor, Brother Joe and Diego's mama, we laid her to rest last night. And in between the men's discipleship and studying, I had to catch a little bit of college football yesterday on the phone and a couple of glimpses because there was fumbles, there was interceptions. People, some of the best players in college football made some of the biggest mistakes yesterday, and it's going to cost them maybe a national championship. But I want you to know something right now. The game isn't over, and it's not all over for them because everybody fumbles the ball. Everybody falls. Everybody fails at one time or another. And maybe you were fumbling the ball all year long. Maybe you fell so many times. Maybe you fell all out, just destroyed your opportunities. But I've got some news for you here today that you still have the opportunity in 2017 to finish strong, to bounce back from whatever you fell down to. But you got to start someplace, and I believe it's right here this morning because everybody has failures, but we're born not to fail. We're born to win. We're born to finish strong. We were born to bounce back. We were born to stand up every time we fall to the ground. We were called to pop right back up and say, wait a minute, I've got another chance. Everybody's got problems. Don't ever think you're the only person that's got problems. Your problems are so bad and that's all you can see. But if you look at somebody else's life and you really find out, if you take time to listen instead of talk about your problems and listen to somebody else's problems, I guarantee you this, you'll probably look at your problems and say, man, I don't got no problems at all. Oh, man, I'm telling you right, there's some people right next to you that have bigger problems than you, but they're not crying. They're not giving up. They're standing up. They're rising up because you know why? They know it's the only way out is to pray their way through. The only way out is to give their way through. The only way to do it is just to go through it and finish. Everybody has difficulties and issues. Look at somebody right now and tell them. Look at them. Come on, look at somebody and tell them, I was born to finish strong. Not to die in the wintertime, not to die in the desert. Come on, tell somebody. Tell them, I wasn't born to fail. I was born to win. God gave me a plan. God has anointed me. God has given me the mandates. I was born to bounce back. I was born to stand on my feet. I was born to win. Come on, tell them. Tell them. Tell somebody, I might have to cry my way through it. I might have to crawl my way through it. I might have to fight my way through it, but I am not going to stay down. I'm going to finish strong. Come on, tell somebody. Preach to somebody this morning. Let them know, you know what? I'm not going to stay down. I'm going to bounce back from my circumstance. Tell them, I will finish. Come on, turn to somebody and say, I'm going to finish strong. Come on, representative. You tell Matt, I'm going to finish strong. You're going to finish strong too, Matt. Don't you give up on me now, tell him. I need you to the end, baby. I need you all the way into that office. Not just halfway through. Come on, tell your spouse. Tell your husband. Come on, sister. Your husband's been a little weak. You're the only one knows he's a little weak. Tell him, come on, finish strong, man of God. Tell your woman, man. Tell him, come on, honey. Come on, finish strong. Let's finish this thing strong. You know, everybody knows we just celebrated 40 years of marriage, right? And in July, and you guys had this big, beautiful, amazing banquet. It was so awesome. We had such a blast. And People ask me all the time, how in the world have you guys made it? And I said, honestly, I can't tell you. I just wake up every day, say, honey, we're going to make it today. And she says, honey, we're going to make it today. By the end of the day, we just say, we're going to say the same thing tomorrow. If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't be together. We know that. But I'm so glad that I'm married to a warrior, that if we got issues, she'll get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and pray. She won't turn on a novella, find out what they have to say. She won't read People magazine and see how they do it, how the actors do, how Hollywood does it. She goes to the scriptures and she sees how Esther did it. She looks to see how the Proverbs 31 woman did it. And then she just silently prays for me and just waits for me to come along. When I finally get it, then she says, Jesus. You've got to make a statement here in 2017 so that 2018 won't be a repeat offender. You've got to make a statement today. That statement, you've got to say this. I refuse to be bitter when I can get better. I refuse to get bitter when I can be better. I refuse to be bitter when I refuse to curse God and die when I can stand on my feet and live for God. Listen, I am not going to curse. Listen, sometimes you see Job, his wife told him, curse God and die. Job, look at your life. Everything's falling apart. God has taken everything from you. And he said, you know what he said? He goes, man, naked I came in and naked I'm going out. I didn't have nothing when I came in and I'll have nothing when I'm going out. I'm not going to curse God. I'm going to live. And I'm going to love God no matter what. Some of you here are so quick to give up on God. Don't give up on God. God never gave up on you. The rest of this year can be the best of this year for you if you make some decisions today. Because you were designed to finish strong. You were designed to win. That we need people that will go to the long haul, that will finish the race. Paul says, this one thing I do, I finish. I don't look at what's in the past. I move forward to what's ahead of me. And I keep my eyes on the prize. I keep my eyes on what my goal is. And my goal is that I would not let God down, that I would finish the race and I would finish with joy. Not just finish it. I love what he said in the New King James. He said, I'm not just going to finish. I'm going to finish with joy. It don't matter if he's shackled up in a prison cell or they're trying to burn him alive. He's going to smile in the fire. He's going to dance in the rain. It doesn't matter if he's being shipwrecked. He's going to swim for joy. Bible says, he says that I want to finish my race with joy. That's the kind of leadership we need in our church. I need leaders that are going to lead with joy. Not bitter leaders. Not leaders that give up. Not leaders every time there's a problem in the church, they want to leave the church. Every time a leader runs into a problem, man, you know what? You got to learn how to get on your knees at 4 o'clock in the morning. You learn how to fast. You got to learn how to get a hold of God. Start loving some people and you'll get your mind off of your problems. We're looking for leaders. We just got a new mayor. I've been praying for him. I said, I hope to God that he prays. Because our city's in trouble, man. I hope he prayed about the next police chief. I hope he prays about the next fire chief. I hope he prays again over his staff. Because this city is in duress. This city is in pain. Man, we need leadership in our community, in the church. We need leadership right here in our city. We need it in our state. We need it in our nation. My goodness. We live in a nation that has the most resources. We're so blessed. So blessed. And what do? We squander it, right? We have so much. We waste it. Let's be good stewards of what God gave us. God gave us a gospel. And particularly to you, Victory Outreach, he gave you a unique style of ministry. He gave you your style. You're not afraid to go to the streets to reach the prostitutes, to reach gang members, to reach to have men and women living in the home. Most churches won't allow something like that because they're not called to do that. You've got a unique call. We have to answer the call and finish this race with joy. at the ministry God has given us. Now, let me begin to land this home if you want to come to the keyboard. Just to give you some hope. Listen, let me just break down it real quickly. Look at Paul's conversion. The guy is a religious zealot. His whole mission is to wipe out Christians who are absolutely just, he says they're heretics. They're preaching this message that is against everything he believes. So what does he do? He says, give me a piece of paper. He's nothing more than an assassin, a hitman, a religious hitman. And I love the way the Lord saved him. He didn't use a debater. He could have used a spiritual debater and looked him in the eyes, a prophet, and say, thus saith the Lord, you're off your rocker. You're done. You're messed up. He didn't do that. Jesus himself had to come to Paul. And a lot of people say he fell off his horse, but that's not really provable. I believe he was just walking along the street. I believe that the donkey he had supplies on him. I don't think he so much fell off his horse. Everything I've read, I've led to believe that. He was walking. Imagine them walking down on the mission, on the way to Damascus to do what? To capture Christians and then give them to guards to take them to their death. He has a paper saying he's legal to do this. Arrest them, execute them. And on his way to Damascus, what happens to him? He has a conversion like not many people have. Jesus himself appears to him. He gets blinded in his eyes. And he begins to say, why are you persecuting me? Why do you persecute me so much? And I love what he says. Who are you? See, a lot of people think they know God until they get in that place where they have to say, who are you? He says, who are you? I'm Jesus, whom you persecute. And I love the rest of the story, but I'm not going to get into it. He has a conversion right there. I love the way the man that he uses to mentor him. He tells him, I want you to go get this guy, Saul of Tarsus. And he goes, like, him? Yeah, him. Take him under your wing. He's going to live in your house. It's the first men's home ever. The first victory home. They didn't call it the victory home, but there was victory that came out, so it's called the victory home. First men's home. Ananias was the first director. And he pulls him in there. He's the worst of the worst. The assassin. Pulls him in. And he, like we like to say, he shandos him. Lays hands on him, says, you know, in the name of Jesus, man, be free, you know. And so he some people say he stayed in the home for like 12 to 14 years. Some commentaries, you know, if you study, but let's say he was there for a while. But what did he do? Immediately, the Bible says, his mission started. The Bible says he went out and began to testify in the street corners. He didn't go get bookings at churches and say, oh, this is Paul. This is the evangelist of the hour. He's on channel 40, channel 23, channel 11. We want to get on. He didn't go. He went to the street corner. I want to be a preacher. Well, I'll see you in the street corner. Then I know I believe you're a street preacher. And there he was in the street corner. What was he doing? And then immediately trials happened. As he preached in the street corners all over the place, what happened to him? They whooped him. They beat him. They stoned him to death. I love the fact that he was so strong that when sometimes they beat him to the point of death, they drag him out and leave him at the end of the city hoping he'd bleed to death. And he'd get up. Oh. Go right back to the same street corner. I want to let you know about the love of a Savior. And the very same people that would beat him would look at him. And you know, many of those people got converted. That's why you need to finish strong. That's why your marriage should finish strong, because your kids, your grandkids, your family, your friends, your community is looking at you. That's why we need to finish strong in the church, because people are watching. You've been saved for a while, and you can't give up on God because you went through a trial, because you got sick, because you got bitter. You got to get better. I'm not gonna elaborate. I'm going to elaborate a little bit, but I'm not going to read it. But in Acts 27, while Paul's really on his last journey, they put him on a ship headed for Italy, headed for Rome. And the very prison where he ended up in prison, we got to visit last year. We were in Rome, and we got to see it. We got to see that prison where he was at. We were shackled to in Rome. where he had spent his last hours, last days, last weeks. But on the way there, they put him on a ship. They put him on two ships. Put him on one ship, they got him to one place, and then another ship, they got him to the next place. While he was in that ship, God used him so powerfully. It was 276 souls on board. And he, as they were afraid of the tempestuous winds and all that was going on, they were about to lose their lives. So Paul rises up as a prophet and says, listen, we're going to make it, but you got to listen to what I'm saying. And he gives them instructions, and they didn't want to follow the instructions. And the boat starts falling apart. He says, do what I say. These guys hadn't eaten. They were starving. So he says, listen, we need to eat some food because it's going to get worse. And we need our strength. And what does he do? He has all the guys eat. Now, there's people in charge on this ship. But there he is. So finally, when it's all said and done, ship breaks apart. They see that there's close by some land. What happens? Paul gives the final instructions. These guys, even though they see that God has used him, now the ship is breaking apart. And sometimes when our ship is breaking apart, we want to blame everybody. We want to give up. And that ship was breaking apart, but he gave them instructions. So they got all the guys who could swim to get on. So all the guys who couldn't got them on planks. They began to make their way to an island by the name of Malta. And as they make their way, before they went made their way, the leaders there said, we've got to kill all the prisoners, lest they get onto the land and escape, and then we'll be in trouble. Well, at least we can tell them that we took them out. Because if they escape and somebody finds them, that was a short death sentence for those leaders, for those guards, especially for the centurion that was in charge of Paul. Because that was a big task. That was a trophy task. But instead, that centurion knew something about Paul. Because if you read earlier, he said he let Paul walk around the ship and talk to his friends and to people. He didn't do that. He unchained him, let him go. There was something about that centurion that knew the God. He knew this guy's got to be a godly man for him. This man to go through what he goes through and still want to share the love of God with me and with everybody else. And so he knew it. So what happens is he fights it. He said he wants Paul to die. God used that centurion to save Paul's life because they were going to kill them all. It wasn't bad enough. The shipwreck was going to probably kill them. Now, here, the centurion, God uses him and he saves his life. And they get to the island. There's a whole different Bible study when they get to the island. Natives there, they treated them with unusual kindness. There's a miracle. Snake bites him. They think he's a god. He introduces them to the God of all gods. See, he was shipwrecked and he just swam. He must have wondered, God, I thought it was over. I thought it was my last shipwreck, my ship ride. I'm going to go there. They're going to take me out. Everything will be good. I'll go home. Why have you allowed me to be in this storm, another storm? Why have you allowed me to be in these crazy waves, these crazy oceans? And I read something the other day that I added to this. It says that God replied to him, the reason why I allow you to be in these kind of wicked waves and storms is because your enemies can't swim. They can't swim, but you can. You can swim. So swim for your life. And if you're down right now and you feel like you're going under, you swim and you don't give up. There's too many people ask the question instead of just swimming. Paul could have said, I'm going to die anyway. But instead, he survives. Why? Because every time Paul went down, he bounced back up and was ready to do whatever God said to do. Why? Because he not only declared it, but he lived in faith. If your ship is breaking apart in your marriage, if your ship is breaking apart in your finances and Christmas is coming, I'm here to declare to you, you better not forget the seeds you planted in Easter. You better not forget the seeds you planted all year long, I want you to know your miracle is still coming. Every seed that you planted, it might be in the ground still. For some reason, it hasn't germinated yet. But I'm here to let you know this morning, the seeds you have in the ground is about to crack through. It's about to crack through that little crack. And when it does, my friend, you're going to see the miracle that God has promised you. But if you fell down in 2017, you better bounce back. You better not stay down. You were created to finish strong. You were created to win. You were not created to fail. Even though your name may be fail, but you're not created to be fail. Gideon felt like a failure, but when God commanded him to rise up, he rose up and he defeated the enemies. Don't ever despise your process. 4 years of process, Representative Steve went through. 4 years, 2 years here and 2 years there. It's a process. He could have just said, oh, I'll run right now. He wasn't ready. The seed was in the ground. It was germinating. It was in the dark. And there's nothing worse than being in the dark with something. Some of you, God is going to have, in 2018, some of you are going to start businesses that are going to be so powerful. But you cannot give up on your business because you feel like you're in the dark. Sometimes you got to be in the dark so you can find the light. When you find the light, when you search the light and you see that light, even the smallest little bit of light is going to light up the darkness you're in. Let me down this completely. I've been praying over your miracles. You know, the ones we have on the cross here since Easter? I've been praying for them every morning. I'm in a bag. I've just been laying hands on them and crying over them. Because some of you haven't received it yet, and you're questioning God. You say, man, I sowed a seed for my marriage. I sowed a seed for my job. I sowed a seed for this, my sickness. And you see, some of you were so sick you couldn't even rise up. I got some news for you here today. Just like this young man right here, Cisco, he walked up to me the day before yesterday. He goes, Pastor, I did surgery on my foot again. You know that? I go, yeah. He goes, guess what? He goes, they didn't find nothing. No infection. It's all healed up. They just want me wearing this for a little bit so nothing, all the medicine don't squeeze out. But I'm good to go. I'm going to the UTC, to the Urban Training Center in January. And I said, oh, there's this miracle. Man, that thing's been holding him back from going to the UTC all year long. The devil thought he had him out. What he did, he bounced back. He rose up. He said, away. Paul told his spiritual son, I've fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. He says, don't give up, Timothy. Bounce back, Timothy, because he knew Timothy was going through it. He said, bounce back, man. Come up, get up off the mat. Don't stay there. Don't give up. Don't let the count get to 8, man. Get up. Put your gloves up. Get up. He wrote to Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, do you not know that in all race, all runners run, but only one receives the prize, so run to obtain it. In other words, if you're going to run. Don't give up. Don't stop. The rest of this year will be the best of your year. Why? Because you stand in faith. Paul understood pain. I know many of you understand pain. Don't just stay down. If he had strong faith, then you've got to have strength. But if I have to have strong faith, you've got to have strong faith. You've got to get up, man. Get up out of that. You've got to have faith to believe in God's favor. When you have faith to believe in God's favor, it sets you up to believe in a future that is unrestricted, unlimited. I believe that with all my life, with all my heart, unhindered even. God wants you to push past your boundaries today, man. Push past them far enough, beyond the boundaries, that you can believe again. Some of you, God wants to use your life. Some of you want to be pastors. Some of you want to be home directors. Some of you want to be leaders. Don't you give up. Don't you let a setback keep you back. You bounce back today. Amen? Would you bow your heads with me all over this place? Second Corinthians 1 and 20 says, for all the promises of God in him are yes. And in him, amen. For the glory of God to us. See, some of you think that God hasn't answered your prayers. But he has, because he always answers prayers. may not be like you like. He may have told you no at the beginning of the year. Maybe he told you to wait and you've been forcing it. But he always answers a prayer. I'm here to let you know today. You've got to have the same mindset today that Paul has. None of these things move me. Not the pain I'm in. Not the distress that I'm in. Not the trials that I'm in. I want none of that to move me. I don't want to even count my life there. I want to finish my race and not just finish it. I want to finish with joy. My goal has to be to finish 2017 strong and bust open the gates in 2018. Bust open. So if you fell down, God created you to bounce back. If you got knocked out, you were created to finish strong, get up off the mat. I want to call an altar call for all of you this morning. It says, you know what? This message is ministered to me. My mind is made up that all the things that I'm going through, all the pain I've been suffering with, all the stuff I've been full of, I am done with that. I want to bounce back. I'm going to finish strong. And you may not be going through a lot. Maybe just a couple of little things you think you can handle on your own, but you can't. You need God to handle it. I'm going to open up this altar as they begin to sing this song. And I'm going to open it for those this morning that say, you know what? I want to finish strong, and I want to finish with joy. I want to finish the task. I'm going to finish raising my family. I'm going to finish the job that God has given me. I'm going to finish the ministry that God has given me. I want to finish everything that God has given to me that I'm responsible for. I'm going to finish my marriage strong. I'm going to finish every single thing that God has given to me to finish strong. From all over this place, if your marriage is going through some things, you get up to this altar and say, we're going to finish strong, honey. We're going to make it, man. If you keep on going back to addiction and you can't seem to get a hold of it, you get up here and say, I'm going to finish my life strong. I'm going to use Paul as an example, as a model in my life, that I am going to finish strong. I'm going to bounce back. I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand in faith. I want to move past the boundaries. I'm moving past the boundaries.